You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up. I am one of your hosts, Jason Reed, and I have my other host here, the good-intentioned, vulnerable, will never hit you with a pillowcase full of soap, Asia Welsh. How are you doing, Asia?
I'm doing incredible, Jason. I really enjoyed this episode, but even before, you know, we get into how the episode was, I do want to let you know that I'm not sure if you've heard of this movie called Iron Man, but I actually named my dog Pepper after the co-star in Iron Man.
Because you were so knowledgeable in Iron Man when you got your dog that you named her Pepper.
Absolutely.
That's a nice one. So I take it you did your homework.
I did. And I will say I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it.
It was a great movie.
I made the little connection of like seeing Iron Man on Spider-Man and being able to just see, you know, his first movie was nice. So I,
when you saw him on the first Spider-Man movie, you're just like, who is this guy?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, you hear of things. I'm just, I knew Iron Man existed and I knew that there was a movie that people have watched. I was aware I had not watched it.
Were you upset when there was no ironing in the movie?
That kind of threw me for a loop. I thought it was really interesting. I am intrigued to keep going. So, I'm not dropping out of Marvel High School. So
your next assignment is Incredible Hulk.
Ooh.
Now okay. I need you to stick with it. Okay. It's not as good as
Mark Ruffalo one.
No, this is the Ed Norton one. So Ed Norton was Hulk at first, and then there was contract disputes and all that stuff. Ooh. And we had a switch up.
Okay.
Also, when you watch next Iron Man, watch for a switch up of the Rhodey character.
Okay. Good to know.
He will no longer take the form of Terrence Howard. He will now take the form of Don Cheadle.
I said, is that Lucius? I was shocked. So
where's Cookie?
Where is Cookie? For anyone who's confused, this is a little bit of homework last week. Jasmina loves Marvel, you know? So I figured I love Jasmina. So why not get started on this journey? But we are here to talk about Married at First Sight. I hope you're not confused. This isn't a Marvel wrap up, which honestly, idea, right?
Well, I think they have that covered over on post show recap. So we don't want to step on any toes.
Yeah. True. We are here to talk about season 14, episode 3. And before we get started, we do want to shout out how, you know, you all should go over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave us a 5-star review. I do want to give out a shout out to a couple of the reviews this week. We did get one from Tim's Chick. The title was Love, Love. And says, I'm so glad I found this podcast. My husband and I watched this. Okay, my idea. And feel the same way as you do as this year's about your this year's couples and individuals. So thank you so much, Tim Schicks. I really appreciate that.
Yes, we love reviews. I got to tell you, we got some really nice reviews last week for the show, and it just made my whole week. So yes, like Aja said, please rate, subscribe, review the show. If you're on Spotify, you can only rate right now. But on Apple Podcasts, you can rate and review. So leave us a nice 5-star review and you'll really make our day, our week, our month. We do have another review that I wanted to read. This is from Spelled with an X. And I do believe this is someone we've also been corresponding with on Twitter a little bit. Mm-hmm. Christy, she spells it with an X. So I think if I connect the dots, this is the same person. What's up, Christy? So let me read it. It says, I came across this podcast because I needed someone to discuss maths with. I've been a fan of the show for years, but know very few people who watch. Even though I cannot actually discuss the show with Rob and Aja, listening to them discuss the show is the next best thing. I feel like we notice the same things and are in line with the way we think about the nuances of each person on the show. However, I'm confused about the Rob and Survivor thing. Who's Rob? LOL. Okay, so like I said, we did correspond a little bit with Christy. We kind of set her straight a little bit. I am not Rob. I am Jason. The Rob that you were probably seeing on your podcast that's maybe the author of the show is Rob Sesternino. He is what you would call our podcast godfather, podcast podfather. He's our benefactor. We're on his platform. And the Married at First Sight wrap up is the RHAP comes from Rob Has a Podcast because that's Rob's network. And now the wrap ups, he has a whole network of these other shows that he's not on, but he allows us to talk about these shows on his network. That's why it's RHAP. Just for anybody who is a new listener and a little confused about who is Rob indeed.
Yes. And then, like, you know, a minor detail, he was on Survivor a couple of times.
So we like to only reference the one first time. Okay. Right. We don't really like to talk about the second time he was on Survivor.
Yes. So Survivor, that amazing show over on CBS. So in case there's any confusion, in case you just stumbled across us.
And yes, not the Boston Rob. Don't commit him to calling him Boston Rob. He gets very sensitive about that.
Right. No, honestly, anytime I tell someone that I podcast, I'm like, oh yeah, Rob has a podcast. Rob was on Survivor. They're like, oh, Boston Rob? It's without fail. I was like, no. Rob Sesternino. Look it up. So
we like to refer to him as the better Rob.
Yes. Yes. We can go with that.
All right. So those are a couple of reviews that we had this week. Like we keep saying, please review the show. When we get reviews, we will shout them out on the air and give you some props and thank you immensely for reviewing us and giving us 5 stars.
Yes. And at the end of the season, we do have something special. We are going to randomly select one of the people who have left us a review and we will send you something special. So keep those reviews coming, you guys.
We were right. It's like a 5-star review. Let's not mess that up. Okay. Let's move a little bit into some news that we got in the Married at First Sight universe. This one is a little bit of a doozy, I think, to most people. So we have quite a new coupling that has come together in the universe. We have Mindy from season 10. That was paired up with Zach, and he was not great to her. Let's just put that mildly.
And understatement of the century.
Yes, for sure. And apparently she has now, started to maybe date Ryan from last season. So, Asia, what do you think about this this potential pair here?
This honestly blows my mind. If we had to look at, the woman that he went on a date with in that, like, where are they now? I'm like, so wait, is Mindy on? Is Mindy similar? Or I'm just very confused. I think Mindy's awesome. I did not like how she was treated on her season. I felt like she should have had way better match. But then I'm like, Ryan, really? And maybe to be fair to Ryan, maybe we didn't get to see the best Ryan because he wasn't happy. But I'm so confused.
So I think this is a good match.
Really?
Okay. I do. I feel like Mindy is maybe Brett light, I'll say.
Uh-huh.
That she is outgoing, but she's not, How do I say this gently? She's not going to overpower Ryan. Right. It feels like Brett's personality maybe made Ryan a little uncomfortable because it was a little too powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Mindy will kind of, I don't want to say submit, but will be the lesser, will be ready to acquiesce to a lot of what he likes and what he wants and things like that. Because on season 10, that's what kind of seemed like I was getting from her with Zach.
Right.
She was really accepting of a lot of things, and she wasn't very vocal, right?
Yeah, like it's not as bizarre, of course, as Zach and Val, right? That it's not as like, whoa, wait, what? But I'm also wondering just like, where, how did it start? Where did it come from? Like, I know we have these two Instagram posts where they're both on each of their Instagrams. They posted a picture of them on a palm tree. Dr. Viviana commented on Ryan's picture and said, oh, you know, look at Mindy catching all the angles. So it seems like, okay, Dr. Viviana is aware of this. Do you think she had any say in making this happen?
Oh, you know what? That is interesting. Maybe she's trying to play makeup matchmaker or something. Like, right. Hey, sorry, we really like screwed this up. Maybe you'll like this person better. I feel like they should do that a lot more. Like, you know what?
Yes.
These people that are matching these people in the first place. So maybe not. Don't have a good track record.
Right. Yeah. Like maybe that was it. Maybe like Dr. Viviana was like, look, I'm so sorry for the first go, but look, I really know somebody who can, who you really might like. Cause that was Dr. Viviana's first season as an expert. So she was just getting her feet wet. And now she's like, look, hey, I can help you out. Because why else would she know? You think they just randomly like text her like, hey, just so you know, we're dating.
Well, I mean, maybe because one of the Ryan's posts was a video, and apparently it was like Mindy was speaking in the video. Because on his Instagram post, it says narration by Mindy, whatever her last name is, Schneider or Schneebler or something. Uh-huh. Maybe she found out that way, but I wouldn't put it past Dr. Viviana to be like hook them up together. So that definitely could be it.
See, I was looking at the post of next home must have a palm tree. It was a picture. And 4 days ago. So I don't know. Conspiracy theory. We'll see.
Yeah, so hit us up and let us know what you guys think of this pairing.
Right.
Because it's interesting. I guess I don't think I would have in 800 tries. I don't know if there's that many combinations, honestly. I think I overshot that. In like 20 tries.
Right.
I would have put together Mindy and Ryan.
If you had to try 800 times to get to Ryan and Mindy, I would have been very concerned.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's that many combinations either. I probably would have had to do over a couple of combinations, but you know what I meant.
Right. You're like Mindy and Chris from season 12.
Yeah. That's definitely a no-go. But but like I said, I can see it working. Mm-hmm. I hope it works. I like people to be happy. You know what? I don't detect a whole lot of drama there. So it'll either go well or it will die a, you know, quiet death, maybe.
Right, right. Now I'm going to be on the lookout. So, you know,
Be totally up on that phone, Mindy. Make sure you're not those apps.
Right. So, yeah.
Tell your friends off limits.
Right. No friends.
We had that situation in season 10. Right. Tell your friends to stay away.
No friends, no dating apps, and then they'll be good. Right. That's it.
All right. So that's our little news for the week for you guys from the alumni universe.
Yes.
Go ahead.
This episode, which couple do you want to start with?
I say we start out hot, right?
Oh.
I say we go, we take the plunge and we hit Alyssa and Chris. Okay.
Whew.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. So let's start at the beginning. All right. We get the scene.
The infamous
scene of all the women. There's the only women that get the friends come running in and jumping on the bed. If I was to ever get on this show, if something crazy were to happen and I like got divorced and I found myself on this show, I would insist that all my male buddies come and jump on my bed.
You would insist.
I would insist. I see no reason why the women should have all the fun with the friends jumping on the bed.
Right. You know, the way that this has happened so often, it's made me believe that they are trying to normalize this happening. And I can say in my 29 years of living, there has never been a situation where I've woken up and my friends were already in my house and they opened the door and all bum rushed me on my bed.
I feel like even though they were your friends, you would have to call the cops, right? Right. Like, how did you get in here?
Like, I thought we were friends. But then,
why are you breaking it under my house?
Yes, you busted into my house without me knowing. So
it's a crazy scene. It is just a staple now for some reason.
Yeah, yeah, it has to happen now.
All right, so we get into the interviews of it all before the wedding. Chris talks about how he's a serial monogamist, but this time he's all in, and how he trusts the process because they have analyzed him more than he has. Now I'm going to stop saying this after this time, because I don't want to sound like a broken record, but have you watched the show, sir? Don't trust the process. We get this so often. I trust the process. I trust the experts. Don't.
Right.
But okay. Go ahead. Trust the process, because we need the end. But okay. I'm going to stop saying it because I don't want to sound like a broken record. I said it last week. I'm saying it now. This is the last time I say it. But just know that when we paraphrase these things, I say that again, just know that I'm saying that after I say it, but I'm not going to say it. You know what I mean?
Yes. We have it recorded that you said that will be the last time you say it. So
yeah,
bite your tongue next time.
All right. He also says that he believes that the rewards outweigh the risks, and he meets with his friends, his groomsmen. We're going to talk about them later. And his buddies are giving him a hard time. They want him to admit that he's actually nervous. And when he admits that he's nervous, like, oh my, you sure you want to do this? So they're having a little fun at his expense. And then Pastor Cal comes on and says, these two were matched because they are both direct and honest communicators and seeking a deep connection. And they think Chris can give her the security she needs and that she will, add some fun to his life. Last word, Pastor Cal.
It's like, it's as if like common interests are not a part of the criteria.
They're not even thinking about it.
It's like these core needs. Okay, they exist. There are books written on what a woman needs, what a man needs, right? But mm-hmm. It's like, if just because someone has a need of security doesn't mean that they can be matched with any man out there who can provide security. There's so much more that goes into it. It's like, it kills me whenever they say these basic things that, oh, this is exactly why they were matched, because she can do this and he can do that.
What? You both had family members die. Here you go.
Right. It's like, I don't know. We need a better criteria. Don't even tell us why they're matched. Let us figure it out with them while we watch, because okay. They both need these things, but why these two specifically? Why the disc golf champion of the world with Alyssa?
It's mind numbing. I don't understand. And then when you get these segments, it's all just so vague. Mm-hmm. But that's a show we love and a show we're watching. So
it's
what we have. So we cut back to Alyssa and her friends, and we have one of her friends saying, isn't it so weird that we're just all single? Isn't that crazy?
And you're the one getting married?
Yeah. Like, I mean, from what I've seen, maybe birds of a feather flock together. Maybe there's a reason all of y'all aren't married. I'm just saying.
Okay. And she's like, and your last serious relationship was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Rub it in.
And Alyssa goes on to say, she's been dating since her last relationship. She just hasn't found anyone that has anything that she wants. Mm-hmm. Foreshadowing, we're really picky.
I'm sorry, but if your criteria is that high, like no one is meeting it, why are you doing Married at First Sight?
Yeah, this isn't a show for you, boo. she claims now that she's going to have realistic expectations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hard claim.
Yeah. We cut to Chris saying he's not really nervous about the day, but he just really hopes that he, brings across a good impression to her, and that he, his goal is to come across comfortable to her. So, I mean, you know, that's he said this before, and it's something that's really, you know, he's permeating this throughout the whole thing. Like, I just want to let her see that I have my stuff together, that I'm, yeah, I got it down.
And it's like he wants her to see all these things at the first initial glance, like, because even walking in, I want her family to know that, like, okay, that I'm, you know, I have it together. I'm this good guy. Like, I can protect her. You're like, that's stuff they can figure out over time.
Yeah,
I think he's just so, like, at this point, I feel like we know Chris really well. Like, I feel like we know the type of, like, he's very deep into his thoughts. He is going to overthink it. He is very analytical. And he's treating this as such. So it's just like, it's making him seem so high strung.
A lot of things that he said throughout this whole episode really makes me feel like he's really comparing this to selling a house.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's like a fixer upper, and he sees a lot of potential in himself, and he can grow and he can change himself. He can remodel himself, basically.
Yeah. It's like when the buyer walks up and they want to pick me as their agent, I want them to know that I can sell I can find them the right house. I'm qualified. I can do it. And this is not the same thing, Chris. It's a little different.
Oh, sir. All right. So we then cut to her with a lot of foreshadowing what's going to happen, where she's talking about so often she hopes that she's happy with what she sees when she hits that aisle, and he's happy with what he sees, and that physical appearance is actually very important, and they need to have that chemistry right out the gate. We get like at least 3 minutes on her saying different iterations of this same thing.
Yes.
So it's like, and we already know what's coming because we've seen the previews. So it's this is not going to go well for you.
I'm like, does she want to be attracted to him? I can't tell at this point.
And then we get something really, really odd. Okay. We get a gift exchange. Like we were asking last week, where are gift exchanges? So we apparently have a gift here for Alyssa from Chris. We get this really nice note about her inner compass and how, you know, he's thankful that she's gone through this adventure with him before they even met, blah, blah, blah. But we don't see what the gift
is.
What is the point of this?
The weirdest gift opening in the world. You have gone through 4 weddings at this point because they aired Alyssa and Chris's wedding after Noy and Steve's. You've gone through 4 weddings, no gifts, no nothing, right? And you do, and you finally show us a gift. And we're like, oh my gosh, well, I wonder what he got her. Okay, you're just going to show us the card?
Crazy. I did track this down on Instagram because I found it. He gave her a compass necklace.
Mm.
There was a picture of the necklace next to the card.
Oh, yes, he did post that.
Yeah, so I just don't know why they wouldn't show it on the show. It's crazy.
There wasn't enough time.
There wasn't enough time in a 2-hour show where y'all.
It would have had to be 2.5 hours.
Crap over and over and over again. We could get some new, brand new content about what's in the box. Right. What's in the box? Come on.
It was the wild. I have never seen such a. Just like I honestly thought I missed it. I was like, oh, maybe she took the gift out and I just did not see it. Like, it was missed. Really? Like, I think
it,
they just
it looked like she was about to open it and they just cut away from it.
You're like, y'all don't need to see that.
Yeah. Crazy.
So I honestly think the production was like, we know what's to come. So we need to be able to show a human moment from Alyssa. We need them to see her cry or be excited about this in some form or fashion.
So do you think that she opened the box and was like, ew?
Yeah. Maybe.
What is this?
She like looks at the camera. Are you serious?
What is this like, crap?
Jim from the office.
Or she hit him with the bow from last season. Yeah. I don't like necklaces. Right. I don't like people that like necklaces.
Yes, I want a brilliant mind.
Yes. All right. So we're getting more ready. The parents now come into the room. She explains that she's going to be walking herself down the aisle because her father has back issues. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. And these boots that she has on. So I'm not a fashion icon. Okay. But I'm wondering, like, is there supposed to be that much room in those boots? Because it looked like they were like 10 sizes too big for her.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, you suspect they do not fit.
Yeah. They're like, well, like rain boots or something. Like, I don't.
I thought it was a lot. I mean, definitely.
You live in Houston. You know about cowboys and cowboy boots.
Yeah, we all ride horses down here. You know, I think that, okay, anybody out there who loves cowgirl boots, cowboy boots, please tweet us and let us know if this was great. Because in my head, it did not match at all. Like, I understand she loves the country lifestyle. But to me, it seems like, okay, this is the type of like wardrobe change you would change into at the reception, not necessarily walk down the aisle. I know some people will do sneakers or they'll do flats or something like that. But I can't even remember how her dress looked because of the boots. Like, it distracted completely. Oh, yeah, it was sparkly. He couldn't have anything else to say. So he pointed that out.
I am a comic book nerd, okay? They looked more like what a superhero would wear on their feet than cowboy boots. Like, they're part of their costume or something. Like,
yeah.
It just struck me as odd. Like, the whole time we've seen these cowboy boots in like every episode.
Yeah. But
and then when she had them on her feet, I was like, those look like they're 10 sizes too big. Like, someone flipping them.
They did. I do wonder how tall she is. She does seem pretty petite. And so maybe it's one of those things like, okay, it's the right foot length, but
are they men's shoes? Like,
I don't know.
I don't know.
No idea.
We get more of Chris saying that he hopes he can prove that he comes across as a guy that Alyssa and her family can trust, that integrity is so important to him.
Yeah.
Now, Asia, you are a bachelorette watcher, yes. Right?
Yes.
Does Chris to you, because he comes across to me as this, as a bachelorette contestant with the things that he's saying.
Yes.
Because I've watched some bachelorette.
Uh-huh.
And this sounds a lot like what those people said about this person that they have met maybe for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it's all about like they are in love with them. Like, they want to prove that they are the type of guy that they like.
Yeah.
His cadence and his speech felt like that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, shout out to the Bachelor Wrap Up, Amy and Haley over there. Such a solid podcast. But that's why I was like, oh, if I had Amy here to speak to, you know, the distance all the way back to see if there has been someone actually like Chris on the show. But they do that. They literally, because it blows my mind, because you have 30 people for one person, where it's like, okay, is that one person all of their type, or they all are just willing to make it work with this one person? Because Chris is the type of person that, like, the way he's talking, he would have made it work with anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, give him the production assistant who is like not ready for marriage, but is just doing this to fill time. He would have made it work with that person because he just wants to be married that bad. Yeah. And I feel like he's not thinking about anything about, well, let me feel her out. I don't know her.
Someone that worked at the venue could have like come down the aisle, like straighten out the carpet or whatever. And he'd be like, absolutely. I'm in love with her. Get her down here. I love her so much. But it also just felt really like rehearsed to me. Because that's what I feel like from the bachelorette contestants. Like, they stood in the mirror for, you know, 10 minutes rehearsing mm-hmm. these things they were going to say to the camera about the person they've never met.
Yeah.
It felt a little rehearsed to me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you got a hold of Chris's phone, I'm sure this is written in a note.
Yeah.
Verbatim.
Okay. So right before she walks down the aisle, her friends give her a little pep talk. And tell her that no matter what, they want her to be positive. This sounds like somebody that knows what they're about to get into.
Yeah.
Like, listen, we know you. We know how you are. Mm-hmm. Just be positive.
Yes.
Don't be a jerk. And then Alyssa again describes the type of man that she wants. She wants tall, tan, and a scruffy beard.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got one out of three.
One out of three. Solid.
She needs physical attraction. Teeth are huge to her. Cut to several close-ups of Chris and his smile and his teeth.
The shade was unreal.
Crazy.
Like, I don't want snaggle teeth. Shows Chris's teeth.
And she says
FOMO.
if she has someone with snaggle teeth, she'll say, well, this was fun. And then she yells, is there a dentist in the room?
Yeah. The build up for this was, it was such a slow burn. Like it was slow. I swear they spent so much time on getting ready for her to walk down the aisle because they knew.
Mm-hmm. It was tell me more about the snaggle teeth. Tell me more about it. This is a reduction, on the other side of the camera. Tell me more about it. What would you say? What do you think about it?
I started every minute that went by, I felt worse and worse for Chris. Yes. It was like, imagine him watching this back and just seeing the way that they painted this picture. I would just be curled up in a ball. It just doesn't help self-esteem. It doesn't help confidence.
I did see an Instagram video where he and his friends were together. Uh-huh. He's like, well, the internet tells me I can't smile. So,
oh my gosh.
Like, it's definitely gotten to him a little
bit. Oh my goodness. So yeah, we see what she wants. We see what she wants. And if she said that at all, they said, we don't care.
Yeah. So, I mean, I want to say this for the the end of their segment, but I really want to talk about where the responsibility lies here. Mm-hmm. For real. But we'll talk about that once you get to the end. So we get to the altar.
Did you see that his mom's name is Florine?
No, I didn't.
I thought that was
Fluorine, like fluoride. Right?
That was a very interesting. I honestly have never seen anyone in my life named Fluorine. So I was like,
that is interesting.
Yes, that is a very interesting name.
So she turns a corner to hit the aisle. Did you have any notification of what she was looking like when she hit the carpet and saw him?
You know, I feel like from the moment that she got a look of him, it was maybe 1 second. From that moment until maybe the vows, she didn't look at him again.
Right. I felt like she hit that corner, saw him, and immediately started thinking, how do we get out of this?
Yes. That's when the plot began.
Yeah. What can I do to escape the situation?
Yeah, she literally it had to happen in that moment because there was not an ounce of her that was happy with the situation.
So she gets to the altar. She's crying. For what reason? I think we can surmise.
Yeah,
maybe not the reason Chris thinks.
Yeah. The shade of the song that they were playing. I just remember it kept saying, look at me now, over and over and over. And I was like, they know that she's not looking at him. They knew it.
Okay. We get to the patented friends and family words. For her family, they say to Chris, you are a lucky man. She's a straight shooter. We have no problem telling you what is on her mind. She's honest and forthright. You'll be able to tell what is bothering her because her face will say it all. Take a look at her face right now, Chris. I'm pretty sure you can read
it. Right. I'm telling you right now, her face says it all. Is she happy right now?
She loves dogs. And when they said that, he got very excited. He threw his head back. He's like, yes, mm-hmm. I have the perfect dog cage in my house. They told him to accept that he's going to be second to the dog sometimes. But she will make him feel honored every day. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or Chris's family and friends want to tell Alyssa that he's driven, won't stop, can be a workaholic, but to encourage him to take a break. He's been searching for a woman he can grow with and share successes. Sounds very sounds like Chris. Sounds like he's looking at it like a business partnership.
Yeah.
So the vows are, Chris says, big risks lead to life-changing rewards. He will bring excitement and adventure. He will listen to her desires, feelings, and wishes, and vows to build love with her.
Yeah, his vows, those vows, I swear, he's been working on them for probably 6 months. It sounded like something that could have been in a book that someone had written for their vows. Of those, the romantic fictional that he put his all into the vow. So I give him props because it was very eloquent.
I mean, he's no Jasmina, but you know.
Right. Right.
Alyssa's Val, she says, thank you for signing up. She wanted to really trust her gut with this. She loves animals so much, she would jump out of a car for a dog. She vows to be honest and direct with him, and she wears her on her sleeve and will treat him with kindness and respect. I feel like she'll be jumping out of something else pretty soon to get away from Chris, not just a dog.
Absolutely. Like, I had to look at my TV to see, am I watching this on 2x speed? Because the speed that she read these vows was like, I am trying to hurry up and get out of here. I'm not going to pace myself. I am just going. She was talking. So if no one noticed it, go back and watch Alyssa's vows. She was talking so fast.
She's like, can we just get this over with, please?
Right.
Okay. And here's where I want to mention a little bit of something we got from social media this week. The officiant that married these two has really kind of come out of the woodwork and really shaded Alyssa. Okay, I want to read this. It's from Stephen Martins.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that officiated their wedding. He apparently watched the show, I guess, to see himself on TV. And the tweet reads, when I married Chris and Alyssa on Mass Lifetime, I truly thought this might be it. But always remember, Alyssa, teeth can be fixed. A cold heart cannot.
Oh, ooh, burn, ouch. Burn,
ouch,
burn,
ouch, ouch. Burn. Let me need some aloe, burn. Alyssa, because you've been burned.
Oh, yeah, that is something. That says a lot.
I mean, I don't think you ever had anything like that.
Right. The officiant.
Like, he's verified and everything. So this is the guy. Like,
oh man.
He got the check mark. He's real.
He said, I've got to say something.
I couldn't believe it.
Right. That's shocking.
I thought I throw it in there while we were at the ceremony. So, he asked for a kiss. She very reluctantly lets him kiss her.
First and last.
Oh. And then they do the glass breaking part of the ceremony. I believe that has a Jewish custom, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what I was thinking, but I wasn't 100% sure.
I'm not 100% on that, but I think that's it. Let's see. So we walk out of the reception. He's happy. She's obviously a little not. He says he finds her attractive, thinks she smells good, and he feels the beginning of a spark. Okay. So once they get to the champagne, there's a little bit of an awkward silence. They talk about their names a little bit. He asks her what she does. She is a social media marketer for a construction company and restaurant. They talk about the pet situation. She says she likes horses. He asked her, do you have a horse? She's like, no. Oh, well, my sister has horses in Florida. She goes, you going to buy me one? I mean, maybe that's an incentive, right? Like,
right?
You buy me a horse.
Then I'm good. I can ride my horse all day and we don't have to converse.
Yep. And then we get to the moment of truth. He tells her about his disc golf. yes. You know, hobby / you know, passion. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He is vice president of the Association for Disc Golf or whatever the acronym is. I don't remember. So she is like, she has a reaction that, you know, what we know of Alyssa is really matches. She says she will let him teach her, but she doesn't think it's something she's going to take up. She laughs at it. She kind of scoffs at it.
But I was like, oh, you would for her to even just allow those words to come out of her mouth that she would let him teach her. It's like, okay.
I mean,
not what I thought. It's something.
Give him a little
bit of
something.
You got to take crumbs at this point.
So, I mean, I did kind of feel like at certain moments, Alyssa is really trying to put on a brave face for the camera, right?
Yeah.
You know, she's at some point she's like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and fake my way through this. But at another point, we get to the real Alyssa.
Yes. This is still. I'm trying to be nice. I am in front of the camera. This is still very new. I'm still plotting. That is in the back of my head. I am still trying to figure out how. I'm still figuring out my exit strategy. I mean, at this point, she's like 30 minutes into this plan and she's got nothing. So that's why we're still getting this nice Alyssa.
So we're on our way to take pictures, and he's talking her ear off about his real estate career and the territory he covers and all that. She does not seem interested at all. She says that, you know, he looks like a real estate agent.
I'm sorry, what? I've seen a variety. I've seen very handsome real estate agents. I've seen just across the board. What does a real estate agent look like in Boston?
Who knows? I've also met real estate agents, and they run, like you said, they run the gamut. So I don't know what she's saying. Maybe she thinks he looks like a salesman of some type, like he's trying to sell something.
Right.
Maybe that's what she means, but whatever. We get to the pictures and they try and get them to, you know, be closer, be a little intimate for the photos. And she's just not having it at all. Whatsoever. Why don't you put her head on his fully clothed chest?
Because that's something she would never do, Jason.
Not a touchy person. Not a mushy person. Okay.
He says,
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I like the way he spun it, that like, I like that she's blunt, because then that makes things easier for me. I won't have to worry about how she's feeling. I was like, he is going to make a mountain out of that's not the saying. He's going to make
A mountain out of a molehill. You got it.
Okay, yeah. He's going to make the best of anything.
Anything at all.
So it's like, she got the right match.
For sure. And she just doesn't see it. Doesn't see it.
At all.
So we get to the reception part of the evening. He's excited to be able to put all the pieces of the process together. He's been waiting months and months for this. He's excited that it's Alyssa. But like we said, he'd be excited if it was anybody.
Yeah.
And has someone to point with what he has to give, which was a very odd statement to me, but I don't know. He also says the experience at the upside is massive. Once again, using another real estate term.
Yes. Cause he's like, I don't know. I just feel like the way he's looking at this, you know, the risk, the reward, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. There are two sides of this. Either you stay married and you can have a marriage, or you get divorced and it could go really bad. It could just be an amicable, or it could be a disaster. And, you know, this experience is documented and it's going to follow you forever. And it's like, okay, which do you want? I don't, he's just making it seem like it's black and white. Like, I'm going to have a successful marriage, or we might just get divorced. But there could be a lot on the
There's a lot in between
side.
There.
Yeah.
So we get to another staple, Asia. We get to the glass clinking portion of our reception. Now, this is a very telling moment. What's going to happen? Will we kiss? Will we refuse? I think you already know where it's going. She refuses. We ain't kissing. She says, we don't succumb to peer pressure.
This that would be a little too much.
Let's see.
Well, on the other hand, you have him saying this is the greatest first date ever.
Oh, yeah. He's all about it. So she says things like, you know, she doesn't know if it'll be forever. She can't say right now. She has no idea. But I think if she had turned that aisle and seen a 6'4", you know, guy standing there with a straw in his mouth, his spurs on his feet, some chaps, a cowboy hat, I think she'd be able to tell you if it was the thing right now. She'd be all about it.
Yeah.
If Luke Bryan was standing there, she'd be all over it.
She's like, I don't know anything about him, but I am really attracted to him. So we're going to see where it goes.
Yeah. Exactly. I think I met the man of my dreams.
Right.
So Chris goes ahead and meets with her mom. It was very a little awkward. He really wants to know, did she say if she likes me or not? And I was like, oh, well, I mean, not really. I mean, well, yeah, okay. So we were dancing. I said, you know, I like him. And she said, yeah, me too. So that's something, right? Right.
Grasping at straws.
Yep. So mom says that she is stubborn, but she's also sweet and kind, and she loves a big heart. And then he asks her, so if she has a bad day, what should I do for her? Oh, mom says, stay away.
Yeah.
Don't talk to her.
Give her space.
Don't approach her. You will not like what you find. Do not. I repeat, Chris, do not approach her. Let her be.
Is that, that's what her mom does, right? Like that, that's her mom's MO. But maybe yep. she would want something different from her husband.
I don't know about that. Well, because on
well, not Chris, but a different husband.
On After Party this week. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I can't suggest to you all enough to watch After Party because you get some really nice nuggets. Chris says he asked tons of people there at the reception the same question. He talked to her, both of her parents, because apparently her parents are separated or divorced or something. Mm-hmm. And he also asked her friends the same question. And they all said the same thing. Leave her alone. Don't talk to her. Give her a space. Mm-hmm. She will rant and rave. Okay.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Let's let her process. He's like, I can do that. I can follow instructions really well.
Exactly. So let's see. We get next to her meeting Chris's friends. You know, they ask her her first impression, and she hems and haws for a minute because her thoughts went out the window as soon as she saw him. She was just thinking of how can I get out of this?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She just says, I thought he was kind. Sure. Let's go with that.
The look on one of his groomsmen's face when she said that was like, you got to be kidding me.
Like, okay.
Like, kind is what I'm going to call the waiter who just walked up and asked if I wanted water. I will say more about a waiter after they've served the food, they've given the check. I could go on and on. At that point, I know something. I have an opinion. But the man that you just married, you've had a whole photo shoot with him. Y'all have sat together to eat. And now y'all are just, you know, smack dab in the middle of the reception. The best you can come up with is kind.
That's the most basic thing you can say about anyone you've ever met.
Yes. I can say that about people that I've never met.
Exactly. So then we get down to the real like meat and potatoes of this meeting with the friends. The friends say Chris is a teacher, but sometimes it can come off as condescending. But don't worry, it comes from a good place. And he's just trying to help you become a better person.
If this was the movie Inside Out, we would get a shot inside of Alyssa's head. And all of her little people in there are like, yes, we've got something. We've got something. Yes, and they're like sprinting around, coming up with a plan. We've got something we can hang on to.
This is what we were looking for. This is our way out.
This is it.
We have found it.
Did you say condescending? Oh
boy.
Please.
That's
go
a
on.
Key word. Friends also further continue to throw him over the under the bus. And says if he becomes overbearing, just try and change the subject. He don't ask a lot of follow-up questions. They tell her to stick to her guns, even if he just keeps telling her that she's wrong. Like, he's going to say over and over again, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Alyssa, you know, she gets the confessional, I'm not sure I'm going to put up with this behavior.
Right. He likes to monologue. So just, so, question.
Mm-hmm.
But with her, this conversation being her realization, like, oh my gosh, what is this? Is Chris still friends with these men today? Okay. Is he the type of guy?
I'm glad you asked that. Yes. Because he did address this on After Party.
Okay.
Because Keisha was reading the Friends of Riot Act. Like, what is wrong with these people? Like, are you still friends with them? Right. And he did say he had a conversation with them, like saying, you know, did you guys really say this? Like, what's up? And so I was like, well, yeah, we did. Like, I mean, and then Chris goes, well, yeah. Basically acknowledging like, I mean, it's true. You didn't say a lot.
Yes.
And then they just like dropped it. But he says, yes, he's still their best. They're still his best friends.
Yes. Okay. Well,
I mean, I can't
there
imagine.
There we go.
But here's the thing, though, right? And we're also going to find this a couple other times in this episode about the friends. And overall, this series kind of does this. I feel like there's a lot of combinations here. There is the alcohol is flowing, right?
Yes.
There are producers on the other side of this camera going, hey, come on. I really want a TV moment. Like, say something crazy. Say something, you know, maybe you wouldn't think about it. Just say something. Be honest. Be real. Give me a TV moment.
Uh-huh.
I feel like there's a lot of peppering of that type of stuff to get these people to say that type of thing. Because, I mean, I don't see how you can say this and think it's okay about your friend.
You know, it's like they have this friendship where they can like rag on each other, right? Like it, a lot of people have that. Like sometimes you can hear the worst stuff from your friends because you're like, that we're still in a good place. They love me. Right. But you don't say this to a person that is supposed to be their romantic partner that they just met. There's just like a certain line you ride. You're like they should have some awareness to know that she doesn't know this man. We know him better than anybody. So let's present this in a good way. I feel like Olajuwon's family rode that line.
I mean, a little bit, but they still kind of threw him under the bus a little bit too.
True. Yeah, they did. But I felt like it was in a more gentle way. So.
This Chris's friends are definitely the most savage of people that we've gotten so far on this season.
That, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so now we're going, you know, this was wild. So we come to, he meets with her friends now, and her friends talk about, well, you know, she doesn't go for the nicest guys. Well, he counters with, I can be, you know, a jerk too. That's fine. I'm fine with being a jerk. This is more of like, oh, I'll mold myself to whatever she wants.
Yes. Like, oh yeah, but like my groomsmen were having a great time. I can be like that. Like,
I can be a jerk too.
Don't confuse it, because he just like, for them to say like, okay, she's not used to dating the nicest guys, right? And so mm-hmm. you are out of her comfort zone. So like basically by him being kind, that's not what she's used to. He's like, oh, what's up? I mean, I can be not like this. I'm a bad boy.
I
am a bad boy.
So he continues to ask the friends, so do you think she likes me? And it's like, oh, yeah, sure. Totally. Yeah. Well, I mean, we like you. So why wouldn't she like you?
Yeah, it was the best non-answer. Right. Why wouldn't like she?
A little easy here. Right. And then the friends go on to explain like, oh, yeah, she's definitely not a touchy person. So don't be offended if she's like really like, you know, not about the physical affection at first. OK,
right.
I do feel like we've had a lot of conversation with Alyssa before we had this meeting. Mm-hmm. And she said, listen, when you talk to him, like, tell him that I'm not down for touching at all.
Right.
Because I don't want to touch him.
I don't want him to get any ideas that like this is our wedding night.
Right. I just let him know I'm never going to touch him ever.
Touching is not a thing I do.
Right. Ever. Unless you are a handsome cowboy.
Right. Have there been any handsome cowboys in the past?
Listen, I have like the person that Alyssa is describing. Have we ever seen that on this show?
Just.
She wants just like model look.
Just like Katina was looking for a 6'4", like Michael B. Jordan. We've never seen that either.
Those people aren't on this show. Those people don't need to come on to this show. Okay.
They don't sign up.
No.
So.
Okay. So he says that Alyssa is impressive everywhere. She's got the total package. Mm-hmm. She's just the best. Okay. Fine. So we're leaving the venue. And I want to talk about this for all the couples about how we left the venue. These two get in the back of a pickup truck. That's got to be her thing, right?
Right?
You got like a country, like, oh, this is so country. The back of a pickup truck.
That was a special request from Alyssa that it had to be that she wanted to leave on a pickup on the back of a pickup truck. But it was like, I'm sure she imagined back of the pickup truck, his arm around her. They're like happy, smiling, not go into the big pickup truck and sit on the opposite sides of the bed of the truck.
And it looked like a rusty old truck, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
Wow. Crazy. So we leave the venue. And the next time we pick up with them is we are in the hotel lobby of the hotel, right? So typically this will be where our couples walk up to the hotel suite. The groom will pick the bride up in his arms. And we had a whole montage of our other couples doing this.
So happy. All of them. The rest
and
of
then
them.
We,
yeah.
We get no Chris and Alyssa. And then all of a sudden, record scratch. Skirt, we have Chris sitting alone. getting real snooty with the camera guy.
Yes.
Like, I understand your job, but this is weird. And it was kind of weird, the angle that the camera guy had.
Look, yeah, they're like peeping.
Laying on the ground and looking up at him or something. I was like, what? That is weird.
You're like, he can't see us.
Right. Like we're hiding behind a bush or something. Right. That was weird. I'm kind of across the side with that one.
Right. Like, I can see you. Just come over here and get in my face if that's what you want to do.
And you can tell he's a little agitated at this point.
Yes.
He's probably been sitting there for like 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So we now get a shot of Doors. And we hear Alyssa talking to the producers about how she hates pushy and condescending people. And, you know, she, and then the producers ask, well, have you seen that at all? Have you been that way tonight at all? Right. It's like, well, his friends said that to me about what he is. But, right. You know, just answer directly. And she said some weird thing about how when they were in the elevator, that he said that he was her side piece, which I don't know why they would even include that if they weren't going to really like dive into that, because that was just a weird non sequitur.
Right. It's like, but it's like, okay, I see why he, okay, I see why he said it, right? That's a joke, right? But you don't say it the first night. You just met this person. The vibes aren't there. You do this kind of joke 6 months in, a year in, like, oh yeah, you're my sneaky link, right? Because the person should know they're not, right?
Yeah, like I don't understand this at all. She goes on to say that he seems immature. He is not her type. You know, I don't want to get upset. I don't want to do this on the camera, and walks away from the camera. In the confessional. Yes. And she, you know, and she says to the producers, she does not feel comfortable sleeping in the same room at all tonight. She says he does not have one characteristic that I asked for.
He's
got a scruffy beard, Alyssa. Now give him right. That.
So that was invalid.
All right. You're lying, Alyssa. Oh boy. And she's like, well, I don't know what to tell him. I'm not sure what you all do in these situations. Like, we don't have a lot of these situations, Alyssa, right. So we're not sure what to do either. And then we're just like, you got to go out there and talk to the guy because he has no idea what is going on right now. He's just sitting out there looking like a sad sack.
He's clueless. So I was glad, you know, she finally come out. She came out.
Comes out, says some things that were said tonight just don't sit right with her. Like, and she won't give him any examples as far as we've seen. Like, you know, this could have been very heavily edited. But
right,
she's not really giving him anything to work on, like at all. He just keeps apologizing. He says, well, if I did anything, I'm sorry. He's like, you want to talk about it? Like, is there anything you want us to hear from me? And it's like, no, I just think we should get some sleep in very, very separate places.
Yeah.
Not anywhere near each other's vicinity. I'm going to go to a separate hotel. I don't want to be anywhere near you.
That's what I was like. Did they clarify where they're going to be getting this rest?
No, she gets up and walks away.
Yeah.
Chris is sitting there looking gobsmacked.
Yeah, she gave him nothing, but I really do hope they just edited it out. And she did confirm like this is what I heard. Because to just say some things have been said that don't sit right with me. He's thinking, okay, what did I say? Because he's like, I had a good day. Yeah. I want you to know that I had a
great
day.
I was on my best behavior.
Right? I said everything that I wrote down in my notes. I didn't go off script. So what are you talking about?
Exactly. All right. So that was their story, this episode in a nutshell. They were probably the biggest amount of content we had.
Yes.
At the end of this episode, it comes one of my favorite parts of the season as a whole, right?
Yes.
Is this season on, giving us a preview of what's to come this whole season, because they don't show us anything until right now, because they want us to wonder,
will
all the couples get married? Mm-hmm. We can't see anything beyond the wedding because we want the suspense of whether or not they're going to get married. So now we see what is to come this season. So specifically for Chris and Alyssa, this season ons start in a wonderful place. Everyone's lovey-dovey. And then we get to the moment where it turns. And we get all the drama for the couples
yes.
In the second half of the preview.
Yes.
Okay. So for Chris and Alyssa, like in the good portion, we get them paddleboarding a little bit. And
they're
Alyssa,
at the honeymoon. That was something that shocked me. That answers your question from last week. Was do they make it?
So we know they're on their honeymoon. Alyssa says, "Well, this is all I needed was just some fun." Like, you know, she's all smiles, and then we get to the bad parts. So they have a whole conversation on a balcony, asking if, you know, what do you think I'm lying? And he just flat out says, "Yeah, I think you're lying. I don't think you've been trying this whole process." So obviously, it's a question of like, you know, you don't think I've been putting in effort? No, I think as soon as you saw me at that aisle, you were determined to put in no effort.
Right.
She says, you know, she's not going to sit here and be called a liar on camera. The on camera part really struck my attention. Yeah. And then there's another shot where she says, you know, she's not going to sit here and be called this because she is a good effing person.
Mm-hmm. Solid. She really gave me vibe. Like, I really think she's going to be like Ashley from season 3, who was with David, where it's just like, she's never going to give it any effort. Like, we're never going to see her put forth any type of, I want to make this work. She's just there. She's existing and she thinks that's enough. She thinks me being here is enough. So what are you complaining about? I'm here. I'm doing everything that they're telling us to do. So what's the problem?
But the whole time with Ashley, like, she was very like prim and proper. Like, she didn't give them the time of day, but she wasn't mean about it.
Right. True.
I've been saying that they remind me of the Molly and Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot which season it was, but she was at certain points very mean to him.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting that. I'm getting like late season Haley from Haley and Jake.
Yes.
Kind of letting her truth be known.
Right.
And how she felt about him.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like the writing's on the wall for this couple. There was nothing. And nothing we can hang on to.
It all seemed like from the honeymoon and nothing else.
Yeah.
So
right. Very true. Like honeymoon and right after, unless that balcony was at the honeymoon.
Yeah. I think all of this takes place on honeymoon. And I think they're not making it back from the honeymoon together at all. I think the honeymoon will be the last they see of each other until whenever they decide their decision day is.
Right. I could see it, honestly, because how do they make it home? There's no way Alyssa can fake the funk that long. We already know how she feels. We already know she's not attracted to him, and we already know that she doesn't want to try. So it's hands down a 1 for me on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being divorce, 5 being they're going to stay together, 1 without a doubt.
Yeah, 100% a 1. But I do have the question of, where does the responsibility lie here for this? Are we putting this solely on Alyssa? We can put Alyssa's reaction on Alyssa. But do the experts do her dirty?
Absolutely. I think you can't just say looks aren't everything. You need to dive deeper because we matched you with this person for a reason. A lot of time you do need that attraction from the beginning to get you to a point of interest to go deeper. Right? Sometimes it can work out where you may not be physically attracted to the person, but it's just like the inside is everything. But when she has said to be physically attracted to someone is everything, then you know what I think they should do for people that's important to, or literally just everybody else. You pick the person you like in the couple, right? So let's say it's Alyssa. They really want to have Alyssa on the show. They want to find her a match. They're devoted to finding her a match. Then show her 10 guys. Say, these are the 10. Show us the 5 that you think are attractive. She picks
give her
five.
Some mugshots.
Yes. Give her mugshots. No, no, she needs the teeth. She needs some smiles.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Hey, boys, make sure you smile on these pictures.
Right? Give her this lineup. Say, I like these 5 guys. They're attractive. Then the experts pick from those 5 who's the most compatible. Because then you won't have this issue. You won't have people saying, I'm not attracted to this person. Yet you said you were attracted to them when we asked. And so the rest is up to you to figure out the inside and why you were matched. Because how else? I think that's the only way.
I do think there's a level of the experts like want drama. Let me not put on the experts. Production wants drama. Because I don't know. Let's be real. Are the experts really picking these people?
Yeah, true. Production. There's a casting company picking these people.
Right. Production looks at Alyssa and says, you know what? We could really get under her skin if we give her someone she's not attractive. Right. She seems like a real drama queen. So I mean, the reaction is all on her. Like, she does not need to act that way. She does not need to be so, quote unquote, disgusted that she just can't be in his man's presence.
Yeah. Like, to say, I mean, we've had people who were worse. At least they slept in the same room. Like, maybe he was on the couch, she was in the bed. But to just be like, I cannot be near him. She is. That was that plotting. I just understand. But yeah. Oof. So I think it's clearly the writing is on the wall, and we're just going to get drama from this couple. So if
we even get one more episode out of them.
True. Yeah. We might just get one.
Well, I think the drama that we already got will be nice and worth it for that.
Yeah.
True. We got some good entertainment out of this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
All right, so we gave them our ratings. They're ones. Where do we want to go next?
I think we should dive into another interesting couple. But yeah, for everyone, in case you didn't watch the episode, they definitely had the most content. Chris and Alyssa had the most content. So everyone else is easy sailing from here. but I definitely think we should get into Katrina. No, Katina and Elijah.
Katrina and Elijah.
Katrina and Aljuan.
Aljuan.
We got their wedding last week. So now we're getting everything else, right? We got to get the pictures. We got to get the reception. We got to get the rest of the wedding. So we started with them taking the pictures. He was really afraid that she wasn't going to like an emotional guy. and he's like, don't get me wrong. I'm not a punk, but this is important to me. That right there showed me what I needed to see about Olajuwon and his emotional maturity.
Yes.
It's like, you don't have to be a punk to be in touch with your emotions, to cry or to show that you care. So she said this feels right. She feels very blessed. And they have just been kissing nonstop during these pictures. And she said his lips are soft. Or no, he said her lips are soft and juicy. And he just feels some loyalty behind them.
Behind the lips. Okay. Behind the lips. I don't know what loyalty feels like right. Physically. But I guess if you know, you know. You
know. I need him to explain how you feel. How you feel commitment and loyalty and love behind lips. Like, is he feeling something else? And he's just thinking it's loyalty.
Where are you feeling this loyalty, Elijah Wan? Are you maybe below your waist? I don't know.
Right.
He also, like, in the segment where he's like, I'm not no punk. He's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you everything. Like, I want to be straight up with you. I'll be super honest. I'm just like, man, could you stop like hyping this up like so much? Like, you're putting it in her head that it's going to be something crazy.
Right.
Like I said last week, like, you're just a dog. Like, just say that. Like, I was a dog. I was an ass, but I'm not anymore.
Right.
That's it. Like, he's hyping it up so bad. I'm going to let you know everything. I'm going to tell you every single thing I've ever done. Everyone I've ever messed with. It was crazy.
He said we see that he is intense. Like, no matter if it's a sad emotion, happy, mad, which we'll see in the previews, he feels things very intensely and expresses them very intensely. And so we're seeing that now with how excited he is. He's like, I feel so vulnerable right now. He's just willing to spill if he could tell her his entire life story right now, he would. If he could tell her he loved her right now, he would. Like,
he just feels like an excited, like, 8-year-old. Like, he's just so amped up.
Mm-hmm. Like, he had a whole bag of Skittles before bed, and this is the result. Like, he is wired.
He's going to have a nice sleep tonight, hopefully, maybe for multiple reasons, but he's really worn himself out the whole day with how excited he is.
He is. And so we get to the first dance. He tells her she's beautiful. Like, we know he's attracted to her, right? And she feels his body. Now she's able to feel his body as they're dancing. She's like, he feels so strong and sculpted. So it's mutual. It is mutual.
Oh, they're definitely feeling each other.
Yes. He does a sweet thing where while they're dancing, the sun is kind of setting. So it's kind of in her eyes. So he turns. So the sun's not in her eyes anymore. She loves that. And she says she can already see why she's matched with him. And I feel like that's a bold statement.
That is bold. I mean, this is what, hour two? You met?
She can see it. She can see it. So I was like, okay, remember this moment, Katina, please. So we're at the moment where they're like, they're eating. People start clinking the glasses, which they really made a signature thing across all of these couples. Because I know we've seen it in the past, but have we seen it for every single couple?
I do feel like it's something that we see with most couples, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not everyone, but this, they've really made a meal out of it this season. So
far. Oh, they did. Yeah, I was like, maybe it was just the way that they edited it. It was just like, wow, we're getting this for every single couple because we're going to see the reaction. But of course, they kiss. There's no way they won't. She asked about kids. He's like, yeah, he's like, I want to wait a while. She's like, wait, what's a while? And he's like, oh, like 2 or 3 years. And she's like, oh, yeah, I want to wait 2 years. And he's like, yeah, I want to do it after some traveling. And she's like, oh, like, you're right on my timeline. So they're matching up there. She likes all types of food. But then she asks, can he cook? He's like, I know how to cook. He's like, can you cook? You're making me nervous. She's like, I can cook. It's nothing crazy, but I can cook. He's like, okay, as long as it's like edible. Katina does not strike me as the type of person that's going to cook something that's not edible.
Right. I mean, I would think at least you won't be poisoned with whatever she makes you. I think it would be hard to come to that.
Exactly. Especially being a foodie. Like, she likes going out, trying different restaurants. So she knows quality food. There's no way she's
a blog, right?
Yeah. There's no way she's cooking half cooked ramen at home with no seasoning, you know?
Right. Like, there's, and he goes, like, the only way we're going to survive is if we learn how to cook. Like, what, are we in a jungle or something? Like, we got tons of apps and stuff that will bring you food to your door. Like, we got ready-made meals to heat up or something. Like, you're going to be fine. If
The pandemic has gotten to Elijah Wan. He's in this mindset that everything is shut down and closed. And if they don't learn how to cook, they're not eating.
It's over. We're going to die.
Yes. So they get to the cake cutting, and he's like, carrot cake?
Oh my god, so
I have never seen carrot cake on a wedding cake. I love carrot cake.
Oh my gosh, carrot cake.
I've never seen a human being so excited about carrot cake. Like, I've had carrot cake. But is it like that? Like, is it? It deserves that.
I have to wonder, like, did he request that? Like, did she request it? Like, because you don't just get carrot cake as your cake for like randomness, I don't think.
I'm telling you, just a regular person's excitement is like, oh my gosh, okay, that's cool, a carrot cake. But when it's Olajuwon, he's going to fill it to the max. He's excited to the max. He's the most excited anyone has ever been, ever. And that's what we see. So we have her talking to his groomsmen. And we find out that, like, she's a retirement counselor for the state. And so she finds out that he works, or like, she knows that Olajuwon works for the state. So she's like, she can retire him. And she asked them about any bad quirks. And one of his grooms was like, well, like, if you say something, just know you're gonna have to explain it again and again and again before you get a real answer from him. So just be patient. And another piece of advice was like, always know that he's always going to challenge you because he wants to bring out the best in you. And
I don't like that at all. I hate people say a type of thing. Like, it's the same thing, yes, with Chris. Like, oh, he's trying to teach you. He's trying to make you better. Like,
yeah,
it's like, who are you? Better? Like, who was he exactly to teach me something? Like,
exactly. Like, is he an experienced life coach? Is he educated on the matter? Because then we can have a conversation. But he's just Olajuwon.
That's right. He's freaking Isaac, the Facebook crook. What's a, yes, Facebook crook going to teach me about anything?
Yes. I could only think of like Mean Girls. It's like, he's a pusher, Katie. He's a pusher. And then they also say he's the type of guy to mold you to be the lady that he wants.
Like, whoa, like that's big. We talked about the friends throwing under the bus. I think that is like, that's something there. That's that huge.
It is. And honestly, if Katina was not attracted to him, this would have been the ammo she needed to.
She would
not
have thrown in Alyssa.
Yes. That's it. Can you believe he's trying to mold me to be the woman he wants? Mm. That's what she would have used. But because she has on these googly eyes right now for him.
Oh, yeah. She's mushy, gushy. That's, yeah, what she says.
She didn't hear that. She didn't hear that. She heard he's an amazing guy, that he has awesome tattoos. That didn't sit with her.
Well, he said something about the patients too, and she cut to a confession. Like, me too, babe. Vice versa.
you gotta be patient with me. She is on cloud nine right now because of the attraction. So look what attraction can do. Experts, look what attraction can do.
Alyssa is like pointing like LeBron, yes, like on that meme, like, see,
yes,
this is what we're talking about. Yes. This is what I want to feel right now. I want to ignore all warning signs.
Yes.
I find this guy so hot.
Right. Because these were strong enough statements. I take back my earlier statement. I forgot about the he can mold you piece. Yeah. Where, yeah, these could have been pretty bad if she wasn't already feeling him. So, I don't know. We also got him talking to her mom. This was a trip right here. This was good. So she asked him his name. He's like, Olajuwon. And he has to help her pronounce it, right? And she's like, who came up with that?
Miss, you named your daughter Katina. Right. You cannot speak on this. Right. What the heck?
I was stunned. The woman who says that to speak. Yes. You say, like, just in general, that's an interesting name.
Right.
Not who came up with that.
You named your daughter Katina. Wow.
He's like, well, yeah, like, my mom's Irish, my dad is Nigerian, so like, that's what they came up with.
Did we ever get an explanation about where his parents are in all this?
We didn't. No, I still can remember his mom's face being blurred.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So... and so he's like talking. He's like, yeah, like, I have ADHD. And she's like, are you on med?
Oh my gosh.
She's like, what?
Mama don't play.
She was making me think that I was saying the wrong thing. And I'm sitting here just watching. Mm. I'm like, getting hot. And I'm like, what is the, I like, how was he not, this was a pressure cooker for sure. And he starts talking. He's doing the Olajuwon thing where I'm about to overcompensate and tell you everything that I plan to do, everything I'm doing currently. And it does this whole, like, they edited it so it was like him talking all around her face. It's like nine screens of him talking.
This is our second time lapse of Elijah Wan talking to somebody in a row, two episodes in a row, where he is need to be like edited as he's talking so much.
Yes, he enjoys talking, like that is a passion of his. And he's like, look, I'm gonna do everything I can to be the best I can for Katrina. His mom, Katina, her mom, Katina. He's like, oh, yeah, Katina. She's like, that's actually a pet peeve of mine.
After you and your daughter has spent all day mispronouncing this man's name.
Oh, my God. I was floored. It wasn't good at all. And then she's like, and then she looks and she's like, oh, I think that's a rabbit.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
She gets up. Well,
she pulled you. What's over there trick?
Right. Oh, my gosh. I think I hear Katina calling my name. Oh, my gosh. I forgot to iron my shirt.
I do think this was clever editing. Like, I don't think she just got up and left.
I would hope not. But I also would have thought that she would say who came up with that when she heard his name.
Mom is a trip for sure. I hope she pops up again during the season.
Oh, please. Please.
This is the friends and family season. Like, this is a great season for friends and family.
Yes, she is the supporting character that I need. I'm going to be begging for Katina to confide in her mom about something that happens because I need her commentary. I need her opinions and her thoughts because she's not going to hold it back. If Katina has any ounce of her mom in her, oh, we're in for a ride.
It's going to be fun.
We're in for a ride. Oh, so that was, I could not stop laughing during that whole segment. She's like the mom that any guy is like kind of nervous and intimidated and afraid to meet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So then we get the moment where the woman is sitting in the chair and the guy's dancing and, hey, Olajuwon said, I'm going to take this to the max. He lifts up his shirt. He's doing these body rolls. Cut to Katina's mom. Oh,
the look on her face.
It was everything. She was like, no, I don't like that.
Said,
who taught you that?
I mean, we got some Isaac there. That's for sure.
Yes. So then we kind of get this back and forth of Katina talking to her bridesmaids. And Isaac talking to his groomsmen about tonight, you know, what's going to happen. And Katina claims that she's not having sex tonight. She wants to wait like a month. But she also can't wait to see his tattoos because she has felt his body. And his body feels strong. Meanwhile, you have Olajuwon. Look, if she lets me flip her upside down, I will. If she lets it happen tonight, it's going to happen.
I do believe this was the same man that at the bachelor party claimed that he was going to try and restrain himself, that he was not looking for it on the first night. Right. But as with everything else, as soon as he saw her walking down that aisle, that all went out the window.
Yes. So then her talking to her bridesmaids, they were getting a look like her bridesmaids. They were egging it on.
For sure.
I couldn't even note it because I was like, what are they saying?
There's a mention of putting the face somewhere.
Yes.
And my thought was like, well, maybe that would be the only way to shut him up. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. So that was interesting. That was a thing. And then we get, you know, the montage of all the couples going back to the hotel. We get one more noteworthy thing from them. So he carries across the threshold to the room. They're getting undressed, getting ready for bed. This man has stripped down to his boxer briefs. He does a belly flop on the bed. And there is a stain of sorts on the leg of his boxer briefs.
Ooh. I don't even know. I don't even want to know. First of all,
right.
What that is, where it could have come from. But that's not how you do it, man. Especially on TV. You gotta have clean drawers on.
On his wedding day. Not to mention. So that was interesting. It was. That was what we got from them from this episode. It was nice and sweet.
They left off on a note where I think she said, I want to cuddle, but they start like kissing very passionately.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking this is going to go. This might go somewhere.
I think if any couple consummates their marriage tonight, it have to be them.
Sure.
But then we got a next time on.
Oof. This is the spiciest one, I think.
Yes. One thing we notice is that he has cut his hair.
Oh, he got an adult haircut.
Thank you. He got an adult haircut.
I saw something on Twitter. It was a side by side of him with the wedding haircut and Bert from Sesame Street. I couldn't stop laughing for 5 minutes. It was so funny.
That's hilarious. It was kind of interesting because I almost liked his hair before. Not like the hair before, but liked it on him. I feel like his new cut, it's so mature.
That receding hairline is too mature for him. Joke.
Yes. That was it. So we get this new haircut, right? We do see in the happy moments, Katina is starting to fall in love. And then cut to Olajuwon asking to see her phone. He looks at it, starts yelling at her that she is married. You are married.
Yeah, why do you have this?
Do you have that? Who is this? Who is he? And Katina looks so unbothered.
Oh yeah, she is not having it. I something about these two, like, I think that she is going to be like, she's like no woman he's ever experienced, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's gonna be putting her foot down. She's gonna be no nonsense. And the games that he has played in the past, he's not gonna be able to play them now. I think he came in here. I don't know if anybody has ever seen this guy on TikTok. I don't even want to mention his name because I don't want to give him platform. But this guy on TikTok, who is like, he always speaks on what a man should do, what a woman should do. And he's like, a man should be dominant. I feel like that's Olajuwon. I feel like he thinks that he is going into this thinking of these traditional roles. And I think that is not, there are going to be certain things that he wants, certain things that he assumes, and that's not going to fly with Katina, and that's going to cause them to butt heads.
Oh yeah, and she's not going to back down at all. Like
at all.
She, if anything, she's gonna be like, "Well, forget you then. I'm not here for it. I'm down for it." And he's gonna like be like plead with her, like take him back or something. Like he can buck up all he wants, but she's in control here, I think.
And the most interesting part was there was a segment where Pastor Cal and Dr. Pepper are watching the screens, watching the couples in some sort of fashion. Like it definitely, I'm not quite sure what the situation was because we haven't seen anything like that before. But Olajuwon is talking to the other couples and he's just like, Dr. Pepper's questions were not helpful at all. Cut to Dr. Pepper sitting like she is ready to tap into a ring, legs open, bent over. She's like, keep talking, Olajuwon. Oh,
we died. Love a mad Dr. Pepper. Yes. I love it. I cannot wait to see her unleash on this man.
Yes, it was. Oh, I had to rewind that and watch it again because
it's like some kind of like candid camera, like hidden camera.
Yes.
I'm not sure what this is going to be, if it's going to be some like recurring thing from now on. Like, why was it just Pepper and Cal? Like,
right.
This is good. That's going to be so interesting. I can't wait to see.
I can't either. Like that was my favorite moment of on this season to come was her reaction. But what would you rate them based on what we've seen?
So I've been one so far.
Mm-hmm.
Something makes me want to bring it up to a two.
Ooh.
I feel like she is really digging him.
Yeah.
And I feel like I said, she's going to be able to control him a lot, control the situation a lot.
Yes.
And so I'm going to change to a two.
Right. Okay. I'm maintaining my two from last week. I think the vibes are still good, but I feel like there's potential for a tragedy at some point with their relationship. Not like a person.
For sure.
Yeah. but it's not a total one because things could turn around. I think if, you know, there was her saying she's falling in love. So there is something there. I think it's just a matter of can they overcome the things that they're going to encounter?
Well, like, you know, who really gives me hope for couples like this is Beth and Jamie, right? From whatever season it was. They were at each other's necks all the time, like fire and ice. But they make it work. I feel like that's something that
they do. They do. It could be like so. Yeah, because Beth and Jamie like felt things so strongly that it just worked. I was shocked. I'm still shocked that they're still together. Still, it just works.
Every time I see them on that couples cam thing, I'm like, they're still together.
Right.
Good for them.
So, So it could be something like that. I think it's just a matter of if Olajuwon is mature enough to work through it.
And we'll see about it. I mean, like, you know, I feel like they're really starting this archetype of the Chris, Zach, Olajuwon thing.
Yeah.
So it's something that's really becoming a archetype for them.
Right. So with Olajuwon and Katina, we were all ones, episode one. Last episode, we were like a 1.5 because you gave them a 1, I gave them a 2. And then for this episode, we're a 2. So they're climbing up slowly but surely. Which couple do you want to go to next?
Let's hit Mark and Lindsay, who really didn't give us really much of anything for this episode. We're just now getting to their reception. They were the very first wedding and we're just now at the reception 3 episodes later. But so we get the glass clinking again. They do eventually kiss.
Yes.
Lindsay cannot stop talking about how she's never met a stranger she didn't like. She, you know, is really feeling good about this. She asks him if he's nervous. He says, nah. And then she makes a comment about how the other ladies were excited about, like, what they wanted to see in it physically. She says, I've seen a lot of naked bodies and, you know, what looks good now doesn't look good later. And she wants to take character over a good body.
And she noted that one of them wanted a tall black guy.
Yeah.
So, like, dang, at her next time.
And Mark, you know, talks about how he wants to really bring out her lovable side. He's not sure how to get there. We're not sure either, Mark. Good luck with that.
Right. Yeah. She does, like, she sees why they're matched. I feel like their rapport so far is good. And I think it's appropriate. I think they're having a great day. She's still being Lindsay, but I feel like he's learning so much about her because she's being so herself that it's good right now.
Yeah, he says so many times, like, I hope to bring off the lighter side. I hope she gets quiet at some point. Like, right. That's basically what he said.
Yes. Does she stop talking?
We get to a moment where she says people are losers that don't deserve someone like her. And that's where she goes with the F you, I'm out. If you're, you know, basically if you're someone that doesn't, you know, deserve her, she's like, I'm out, F you. And he's like very taken. He's just still like kind of shell shocked by what's happening.
He's like, wow, these are things coming out of her actual mouth.
Yeah, these are words she's not even saying. He goes up to her family, you know, talks with her dad and her brother. And, you know, we still get the dad really kind of shading his daughter.
Yes.
There's a little more. He's like, there's a lot of layers to her. She got a good heart. You know, if she's with you, she's with you. But do not make an enemy out of her. When she draws a line, she draws a line.
They're basically saying, be very afraid if you get on her bad side.
You know, Mark hugs the dad, says, you know, my dad passed away. And, you know, the dad's like, yeah, I heard about that. I'm so sorry. He's like, you know, I've always wanted a brother. And her brother says, well, you got one now. So it's a very heartwarming moment.
Right.
Like, I just imagine when, like, Mark and the dad hug and, like, her dad, like, slips him a car key. Right. It's like, there's a car parked around the corner. Got it for you. You still have time. Get out. Wow, you can. It's your last chance.
Right. I love how loving her dad is. Like, he's being so open and just like you could tell he loves Lindsay, right? He's protective of her. But he's also being so open. He's keeping it real though. Yeah. He's just being so honest. I'm a fan of her dad, and I would love to see him back.
Yes. Again, you need more supporting characters. Again, keep him in the season.
Yes.
So Mark, you know, he does the thing that these couples sometimes do. The man wants to, you know, at this point it's too late, but he wants to get the dad's blessing. Dad's like, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Please take her off our hands, please.
Let's imagine a scenario where Lindsay's dad is like, no, actually, you don't have my approval.
What you gonna do now? Right. Let's see. So we talk about sex. Lindsay says there's no sex going to be on the first night. She makes some more crass comments about the ring is big, so that's good. She talks about how he's like, she talks about the Mark the Shark nickname. She's like Jaws, like he's going to have guppy lips.
Yes.
She just says more like off the wall nonsense. I couldn't even get it all down, to be honest with you.
Right.
So they get into their SUV, like, okay. I just wanted, like, we're not getting Steve and Noah yet, but that's really weird about the takeoff vehicles.
Yeah, she did say before at the reception, she did say his ring was big, so that's a good sign.
They get into their getaway SUV. She lays on his lap, and she's obviously very tired, probably very drunk.
Yes.
There's also a confessional how, you know, the proof is in the pudding, and he seems like good pudding. So I think
whatever that means.
Yeah, I think at this point she's vibing him a little bit. She's digging him a little bit.
Yeah.
So we get to the hotel room. They're sitting down and they're drinking water, which is probably a good thing.
That is a very responsible choice, Lindsay, because we know you're drunk right now. So that's very smart. You need that water.
He helps her off her dress. She's, you know, talking in the bathroom. She's talking about she's going to sleep in her PJs for now, but, you know, maybe once she's comfortable, she'll go back to sleeping in the nude. Right. Such a Lindsay thing to say.
Yes.
And then we cut to Mark on the bed talking about, you know, she reminds him of someone that would, you know, in the middle of the night at 4 a.m, go, hey, you want to jump on the bed? Or say, hey, I'm going to beat you up with a pillowcase full of soap. What?
What is happening right now? I had no idea what was going on in their hotel room.
It's maybe they are meant for each other. I don't know.
Possibly. Because I know we haven't talked about it really, but Mark's eyes is as if like the way he opens his eyes, I don't know how they don't dry out. And it's like, it's as if his top eyelids are, he wants to make sure there is no expansion. And he wants to make sure you see his entire pupil.
We need an IV drip of clear eyes for this man.
Yeah. I just tried doing it as I was describing it, and I had to like rub my eyes. But he does it so effortlessly 24/7.
Crazy. So they end their segment with they throw all the flower petals that are on their bed all over themselves in the bed, and then they go to sleep. They're cuddling a little bit. Well, she's under the covers and he's like over the covers cuddling her.
Yeah.
Looked weird. So that was it for this episode. We cut to this season.
Well, really quickly, did love when she was wearing her pajamas. She talking about, you know, not sleeping in the nude and stuff. But she did say like, okay, I'm gonna wear my pajamas. I don't know him. He's a stranger. Yeah. It's like valid.
Just buried this man.
Right. That was hilarious. But yes, next time on.
So we get for this season in the good part of the preview. She says she feels like she already loves him and that they both seem really crazy. Now we get to the dark side. True. We get to the dark side. And Mark is like, you're very here when you speak. Like he has his like hand up very high. Like she's always here when she talks.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all know it's very true. He also says to her, which seems to be in a moment of argument, that he does not feel that Lindsay communicates healthy at all. And then we cut to Lindsay's like crying and like all she wanted was consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she doesn't feel she's getting it. And we get to a very interesting scene where this may be on the honeymoon. I'm not sure. But it looks like Katina is calling Lindsay out, talking about, you're 35. Why don't you seek the help that you need? And we cut to Lindsay like saying that, you know, that really shook her to her core.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I thought it was going to be one of those editing tricks, but I went back and looked at Lindsay's age. She is 34. Maybe she had a birthday and now she's 35. And Katina could very well be talking directly to her. So
that was another fun moment. Yeah. I can't wait for it. So that's what we have for Mark and Lindsay for this episode.
And in the Chris is 35. It could be him.
But it felt like that was like a segment of just the ladies.
But it could have been Katina talking about Chris.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Listen, we know this show.
We got to read between the lines. They love to trick us.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. So that's what we have for them for this episode and the upcoming season. So let's do ratings. How do you feel?
I'm feeling good. I know we see some fireworks, but I don't know. I know Mark really wants this. And I think that he's going to do what he can to make it work. And I feel like Lindsay is really enjoying him and understands who she is as a person. And it may be difficult for her to get back out there if she already has someone who is willing to embrace the woman that she is. Right. So I'm actually going to go. I was a 3 and then I went down to a 2, but I'm going to go back up to a 3.
Okay. I'm going to stay in my basement and I'm going to keep it a 1.
Okay.
I don't see this. I just don't see it working at all. And maybe I'm reading too much into the after party of it all, but they just did not seem thrilled at all on their after parties. And I just think that she's too much for him.
I don't know. I just can see, I could see, that's why I'm middle of the road. That's why I'm not a 5. I could see it working. But I could also see it not working. It's like 50-50 for me right now. Maybe once we see them through the honeymoon and we get more of their interactions, I'll be able to see more of how Mark can handle it.
Okay. Can't wait to get to the end of the season and see how right I was. Anyway, moving on. What couple do we want to tackle next?
So second to last, we're going to dive into Jasmina and Michael. This was a... They almost didn't show them until like an hour in. I was shocked.
Yeah, I was like I wrote what? My notes. I was like, finally, we're getting these two.
Right. So with them, we start out with the clinking glasses. And before they kiss, he pulls gum out of his mouth. And she's like, you got gum in your mouth? He's like, look, I'm just trying to prepare. So then they kiss. And I do want to say, the confidence that Michael is displaying now that he is with Jasmina has made him 10 times more attractive in my book.
Oh, okay.
I feel like
this. So his vulnerability is bringing something out in you that you are seeing about him now. He's finally being vulnerable.
Yeah, right.
The big V, right. Vulnerable.
It's wild. I feel like I'm like all of a sudden seeing him in a new light, because before, it would seem like, oh, he's so serious. He's not going to be able to joke around. Like, is this guy ready for this? Is this going to be able to work? And I just feel like just seeing him interact with her, he has this level of confidence. That's just like, it's a great look on him. I will say, I had to point that out. So he really likes that she's interested in things he's not into because she can teach those things to him. He loves pets. But he doesn't have time for him. Why? Because his schedule is crazy. He's up at 4 a.m. and he does not come back home until 7:30 p.m. And also Saturdays, he has 4 clients. What does he do?
I wrote a big in my notes here. Like, what is this man doing? Like 4 a.m. to 7:30 p.m.? He's a personal trainer, correct?
Okay. I was like, that's what I thought. I said, is he a personal trainer or a barber? Because what is the schedule?
I mean, maybe
it's like he's like accommodating people that have a full-time job by being available before normal hours and after normal hours.
Yeah, but like, my guy, how do you expect this to work?
Something's got to shift.
Especially with someone you don't know. Like, you're going to be gone all day.
All day.
When are you going to have time to bond with this person? Y'all go to bed at 10 o'clock, you said.
Yes.
So you have 2.5 hours to do what?
Right. That is not maintainable. That has to change. Yeah, that is actually mind-boggling, and rightfully so. Jasmina was like, what? Yeah. And she's like, I need someone who is able to put me first. Which, okay, if he's saying that was my schedule pre-marriage, okay. We have to see some adjustments.
Got to. This is insane. Now, this is Jason's fun fact of the week. I have someone that also works very early in the morning. You know, I get up at 4 o'clock as well, usually every day, but I go to work and I work 8 to 10 hours and I bring my butt home at very early time in the day. But I don't see how you're working. What is this? About 16, 17 hours a day.
Yeah, that is a lot, including Saturdays.
I just also have to wonder if there's like time gaps in there. Where you can like come home,
yeah.
Maybe talk to her a little bit. Because you can't just be working for that long, like consistently.
I really hope so. I honestly, it's not going to work. So later we see her with his sisters and they tell her, just be patient, make sure you give him some extra love. You could tell they're being very, they're very protective of their brother, but they're also giving very helpful advice. They bring up how their mom passed away July 24th, 2014. And so they're all wearing breast cancer pins. And so they give her one to put onto her dress because now she's part of the family.
Very touching moment.
It was. I love that. I was like, oh, that's really, and she was trying to stop from crying. And she's like, she doesn't have any family traditions because of her family dynamic. And so she really liked that. And I was very happy for that moment. Later we see him with her parents and her mom is like, okay, we got to ask you, what are your intentions? And he's like,
that's a producer driven question.
Right? Yeah.
That's something that all the producers like, make sure you ask them this.
Right. Because it's like, okay, what are your intentions? Oh, my intention is to marry your daughter. Well, right. That's already happened. Already, so what do you want him to say?
My intentions are, I'm going to treat your daughter, your child nice. Like, yeah. What else do you want to hear?
Right. I'm going to be so mean. I'm never going to be home. I'm actually going to make her regret doing this. Like what? So he said he's going to bring his full self and he's going to be vulnerable. Jasmina's stepfather says like his best advice he can give is just not say anything. And he's pulling from his own experiences.
Mom's and like, no.
The mom's like, no, Jasmina loves communication. So please do that. And then later on, we get them going into their hotel room.
I did notice, like, I did clock when he's taking the garter off of her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he seems extremely comfortable.
He did.
You know,
I told you, it's that confidence.
Yeah, he's like strutting up to her, like, you know, dancing with her. I did clock that, and that's very nice. Like, I did like that a lot.
Yes, he felt, yes. It was like we were seeing a different side of him. So later, he carries her across the threshold. They're in the room. He is wearing a wife beater. Why are you laughing? You already know what I'm gonna say.
Go for it.
The guns on Michael that we have not seen, the guns that hang off of both sides of his body, was insane.
Well, you know, he works on it for 17 hours a day.
It shows.
I hope so.
It shows. So that was very impressive to see. We also find out he just loves her smile and they just, I mean, and they go to bed. I don't think they're consummating their marriage tonight, but you never know.
I'd say it's a possibility. Is there a correlation between, wrapping your hair and not as a black woman?
In what way?
So I noticed that Katina did not wrap her hair up at all. But Jasmina did.
Jasmina's hair is hers and Katina's is not.
Okay. I mean, I was wondering if there was any, like, you know, sign of something's going to happen or it's not.
Right. I think, well, for Katina, she doesn't have to wrap it because it is right. a wig.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure Jasmina's hair is hers, which is why she has to maintain it by wrapping it.
Okay. I didn't know if that meant like, you know, off limits.
It is happening or it is not happening. Right. Yeah. So I'm going to have to go. I mean, we did. With the next time on, I do remember Jasmina saying she doesn't want to be talked to disrespectfully.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was from him or just in general in life.
Yeah. I felt like they were having a conversation of like, it's probably something like, so what are your expectations for me?
Yeah.
And you like, well, I don't want you to talk to you disrespectfully.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got her saying, what did she say? She did something about she didn't have time for this or something in a like a diary camp confessional.
Mm-hmm. But,
and that was like pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a moment where Elijah Wan is talking to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, if you want to call me out, just call me out or something like that. And it seemed
like it was. Yeah. To Michael.
Yeah. Who was just kind of staring at him like. Right? Michael had no vocal words in this whole like this season on like at all.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
He didn't.
So it just makes me think that, you know, this is all just gonna go fine. Like
right. I think they were gonna show roses and sunshine the whole time. It was similar to Steve and Noy, where you just don't see much because they want this season on to be as dramatic as possible, and they can't have that if you're just
had some good stuff in this season.
A little bit. Yeah. So I'm feeling good. I'm going to give him a 5.
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling very Brianna and Champagne Vinny with this.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's an all way 5 for me.
Nice. OK, we're there. We're good there. Yeah, and I will say you have been the one who's been a 5 since the beginning. I started as a 4.
I could feel it.
I wasn't sure.
First episode.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not wrong. I mean, because listen, after the disaster of Val and Johnny last season, we don't know for sure of anything.
Exactly. You can't be too confident. You can't be too sure. So.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Last but not least.
The old Steve and Noy. So listen, Steve. We got some from Steve. Okay. We got something from Steve this episode. It's still feeling just like so boring to me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right. We start out with the, you know, the whole right before she walks down the aisle. He's adventurous. He's been missing companionship. He's a risk taker. It's the way he lives his life. She's a hopeless romantic. She believes in soulmates and love at first sight. And that's why she's doing this. So she walks down the aisle and they both seem very happy. Like they both seem to like what they see. And then once we're at the altar, we get the whole, what's your name? Oh, my name's Steve Moy. Moy? My name is Moy. I want to be Noy Moy.
Right.
So that gives a little chuckle there.
Yeah.
We get to friends and family. They tell Steve all about the alter ego of Noisy, how she gets a little wild and crazy and loves to dance and silly and wears wigs on rooftops. And they are hoping.
I'm like, hey, we saw that on the first episode.
Exactly. She loves her family. Hope he's okay. He hopes that he is okay with constant calls from family, home cooked meals, and that she is a hopeless romantic. And they hope he will sweep her off her feet. His friends and family say he also comes from a big family and that they call him Funkle Stevie. Okay.
That's a lot. It could be Uncle Steve, but they added an F because he's fun.
So fun.
And then it got to be Stevie because they're kids.
Yeah. Well, you've seen nothing but fun from Stevie.
Right. He's a fun guy, just like Kawhi Leonard.
And that he hopes that she loves that he loves kids and that he's ready for a life of adventure. Let's see. And then we go to Vows. She knows they are both brave souls who would trust the unknown. And there's still so much to learn.
Oh, wait. Did you say bow?
Did I?
I think you did.
No, I said her vows.
Oh, her vows. I was like, throwback.
I did not confuse her with bow. Don't accuse me of that.
Right. Okay, go on.
She says the best is yet to come, that she hopes that if there is life after this, that she will meet him there, too. And then she talks about how she's happy after all this time and everyone's getting teary about what she's saying. He had some short vows. He jokingly talks about, you know, some names that he and his friends and family have come up with who she could be. But he finally says, but Noi, he's winning a lifetime. The only things that he knows that she is as audacious as he is enough to marry a stranger. And he hopes that they will have an adventure to last a lifetime. And so now we finally get some personality from Steve where he says, he says, you know, I know that, you know, you didn't get to pick your ring. So I brought a couple options and he pulls out a ring pop from his jacket pocket. That was fun. I bet you that was Dan's idea. His brother.
Right. It had to be. He's like, you got to do this, man. It would be so funny. And she loved it. It was perfect.
It was great.
Yes.
So then they kiss. I did take note. I said, you know, Steve, the six feet apart rule does not apply to your wife when you're kissing her at your wedding. Right. Like his feet were like 6 feet apart, 6 feet away from her, but he bent his torso over to get to her lips. Like you can move it a little closer.
Yes, I did. I forgot to mention that with Chris and Alyssa, that Alyssa was at least a mile apart from Chris at the altar. But I will say I love this, the officiant. He said adventure. Yeah. It was perfect.
It was a Boston. I'm upset that we don't have enough Boston accents in this mm-hmm. season. Mark is really our only one.
Mark the Shock.
Mark the Shock. And Lindsay's dad.
Yes.
All right. So let's see. He feels that it couldn't have gone any better. He finds her attractive. He feels chemistry. She has really calmed down now that she's met him. She was not feeling well. She thought maybe she needed to go to urgent care. They really liked how, you know, they were joking with each other at the altar. Their families are joking with each other. It just all seems to click.
Mm-hmm.
So now I move on to the pictures where, you know, all the families meet. She meets his family. Her mom likes him. So everyone seems to be getting to, you know, along really well.
Yeah.
We meet Michael, Noi's brother. Wow. Another very interesting personality.
Ooh, I love his hair.
So listen to this. On the after party, Rudy. Asks Noi where she gets her wigs from, and apparently her brother is a drag queen by the name of Sriracha, and Sriracha lets her borrow his wigs.
There we go.
That's the wig she uses. That was very interesting.
Funnest effects.
Let me get a buddy cop comedy of Sriracha and Dan. Let me see them interact some more. I want to see that.
Please. That's what we need to see.
Of course. Yes. Give it to us. Get Steven Noi off my TV. Let me get those right. Two. We get a scene of she approaches him, like, you know, after the pictures and everything. She is changed into, she called it a Pa Biang, I think was what she called it.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives him one to match hers. It's like kind of a, how would you describe it?
Kind of like a, if you imagine like a scarf, Not like a sash, but more like a very large scarf is like the shape of it. And he had wrapped it around his chest.
How would you describe what she was wearing? It was like...
Oh, what she was wearing?
Yeah.
The color, it was reddish, right?
Yeah, it was like kind of a dressy type of thing.
Yeah.
So it was something from her Laotian culture. And, right. You know, according to their culture, they need to match at their wedding. So she gave him a kind of a scarf thing to wear to kind of match her. So It was a very nice moment, very touching.
I thought it was so sweet and such a like it was such a subtle element of just like, mm-hmm. I want to bring you a part of this because she could have just wore hers. Right. And like, this is what I want to do. But I like that small piece of a small addition to him to show like, look, we're now one and I'm bringing him in to learn more about my culture. It was just really sweet.
Yes. Very nice. So we get to the dancing portion of the reception and it starts off a little awkward. They don't know where to put their hands, but they eventually get the hang of it. They start dancing and they talk about how many kids they want. He says two, she says three. And he's like, oh, you know what? I can do three. He's fine just adding a kid.
Yeah. Easy compromise.
Yeah.
What's one more?
So we get the patented glass clinking. Mm-hmm. That we're getting for everybody. She said, yeah, it's fine. A little peck is okay. So they kiss a little bit. We get to the reception and another moment of truth. She asks what he does for work. He says, well, I was a sales engineer supporting the software team when it came to sales, which he explained. You're in the tech industry. Yeah. Can you explain that to me a little bit?
So he's in the repeat how he said it. He's in the software industry.
He's a sales engineer.
Sales engineer.
That's the first part that tripped me up.
Right.
Supporting the software team. Yeah, supporting the software team when it came to sales.
You know, it's one of those things where once you're in corporate America and you start, you know, like I'm a business analyst that analyzes the stats and the data of the analytics. That's you could say that. And then that's what you're paid to do, because the sales engineer, it could be that he's a sales guy, but it's so technical that they have to add engineer. he's the driving force. And
I'm just wondering if this is like software. A euphemism for I worked for Geek Squad at Best Buy.
I don't think so. I feel like it's legit. Not that Geek Squad's not legit, but I think he was like working in an office or working from home in corporate America. But yeah, this description was peak corporate America.
So he explains that he got laid off but he took a road trip 4 months. So adventurous. She asked what the trip was about. He says, well, I just want to go see people, do things, like figure out what I want to do with my life. And then this just happened.
this fell in my lap. Yeah, so I was like, hey, why not get married?
I live in my car for a couple more months and then I'll shack up with you.
Right.
So it cuts to a confessional with her talking about how she feels about all this. She says she's not really concerned because he seems like somebody that, you know, can really figure it out and he'll be fine. In a corporate American job like that, you have to imagine like when you get laid off, you got like probably a pretty nice severance package. She's probably living off of that.
Yeah,
so I think it's fine.
I'm glad she had that spirit about it. Then like, if he doesn't have a job, what else does he not have?
For sure. She mentioned on after party that she, you know, she was a little concerned because she did ask for somebody with stability. But, you know, like she said in the show, she's sure he'll figure it out. He seems like the kind of guy that's responsible enough to figure it out.
Yeah. And I'm glad she's gotten that vibe from him already.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like as soon as I saw him, I got that vibe. So it's not surprising. He seems like somebody that's very responsible and maybe a little boring, but some side of it. So we now cut to later in the night. Steve's getting a little, they showed a little dancing montage and he was getting kind of funky on the dance floor. I liked it a little bit.
He had some rhythm. I wasn't mad about it.
So he meets up with her brother, Michael. And Michael is like, so my guy, what's going to happen tonight? You know, and Steve's like, well, you know, I think we'll just, you know, get to know each other. we'll, uh, you know, just whatever happens, you know, I just want to get a connection. And the brother's like, man, what are you talking about? Get after it. He says, she is not someone that likes to be, that does the chasing. She's the person that gets chased. So you better get it where somebody else tries to get it.
If you are not going to chase her, someone else will. It's like, hey, whoa. You're right.
Get it now.
What a supportive brother.
Yeah, supportive of something. Make sure you're having a good time.
He has Noi's best interest in mind, and he's making sure that Noi's needs are met in some form or fashion.
Yes. So then we get to leaving the reception, and these people get into a horse-drawn carriage.
Yes.
If I'm anybody else on this show, if I'm Chris and Alyssa that got into a back of a pickup truck.
Alyssa's choice.
If I'm anybody else that got into a Hyundai Elantra, I'm like, where's my horse-drawn carriage?
Hey, that is on them for not thinking of it. I can't even blame production. I feel like they asked, how would you like to go away? Alyssa's probably straight up said, I want a truck.
Yeah, that's definitely on her.
Right.
Noi probably shot for the moon, was like, I don't know, something
horse,
like
yeah.
horse drawn carriage. And like, yeah.
Something light.
We can make that happen. She's like, really?
Right.
Like, he probably shot for the moon expecting to get shot down. They're like, yeah, we can make that happen.
Oh, yeah, we can get that.
So they get to the hotel room. Not much happens really here. He's helping her get off her dress. He mentions, you know, he says there was some times I saw a look in her eye. You know, there was some definitely a lot of attraction there, but he's not into a rush. She, you know, is in the bathroom and puts some door glasses on. She's like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm not trying to be all flashy tonight. I'm tired. Yes. I'll put my door glasses on. I'm ready to go to bed.
I hope he likes my glasses. Yeah. I'm like, he's going to like them.
So they got into bed and he says, I heard you might want to cuddle.
A little birdie told me.
I heard you were kind of down to DTF, but I'm gonna say that you wanted to cuddle.
Right.
So then they proceed to cuddle in the bed, and that will cut them for this episode. We did get interesting this season on for these two.
Yeah.
So we get to the, you know, we didn't really get much of anything. Oh, we got Steve saying that he's finally ready to let Noi know that he loves her. This was so interesting. Mm-hmm. I feel like for a show that puts so much weight on the L word.
Yes.
Like we've got couples that go the whole season that don't say the L word until they get to decision day. Like, I just want to tell you, I love you after this 8 weeks. I think three separate people talking about the L word in this season on.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. They kind of just threw it on out there for us.
They did. It was like, well, because they've made such a big deal about it in the past. Now we're like, whoa, they're getting there pretty quickly. So that's like a good sign, or they're getting there too fast. And then it like crashes and burns. So
seeing those people that throw the L word out there first night.
Yeah.
Right. He was acting like he threw it out there first night. First day after. Like after they, you know. Did something else. So I know that I clocked, like, she seemed excited, but she didn't necessarily say it back.
True. It could be one of those situations where she said it already and she's just waiting on him to say it.
Oh, yeah, he's like,
because it was like, finally. Yeah. That's probably way later in the season.
So then we get to the screeching halt, the bad part of the show, of the next season, season, I'm sorry. And we get to a situation where Steve tells Noi, you ghosted me for 24 hours and that's not acceptable.
Right. I'm really just hoping she was stressed about something, didn't know how to handle it. So then she just shut down and then she makes up for it. And then they live happily ever after.
I can't wait for that. She says that something is unnerving her. Not really, no indication of what really.
Yeah, it could be totally unrelated to him.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all we got from them.
Yeah.
So let's move on to ratings. Where are you at?
I'm going to go. I think their wedding went really well. I think they have good vibes. But I think I'm not I need to see more of them to be all in, because Johnny and Bao had a great wedding too. Mm-hmm. And not that they're exactly like Johnny and Bao, but I'm just, that's the most recent example of the exact opposite. Zach and Michaela also had a great wedding. And then look at where we ended up.
Disaster.
So I'm just like thinking of great weddings compared to the ending. So I don't want to be deceived by the fact that they had such a great wedding. So I'm going to go a 4.
Yeah, I think 4 is good. You know, up until the wedding, we were going 3 because we just had nothing to go on.
Yeah.
But I do think the wedding went well. I think the chemistry is really good. Mm-hmm. Not a Michael and Jasmina good, but
right.
Pretty good. They seem comfortable with each solid. Other already. Yeah. So I'm also going to go with a 4.
All right. We're up on them. I mean, to be fair, we hadn't seen their wedding yet. So we were 3s the last 2 yeah. episodes. Mm-hmm. So now we've seen them. Things are looking good. And so we'll see what happens from there.
Yep. I'm into it. Nice. And that is all of our couples for the week.
Pretty solid episode. I like
it. Yeah, I would say. I'm really excited. You know, it took us 3 episodes to get through the wedding.
Yes.
And I'm now just so excited to see where we go, to see them interact a lot more, to see them get on each other's nerves a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. And I really hope it doesn't take a whole episode to get to the honeymoons. I hope that maybe we have a little preparation, and then we get there and maybe get a little bit and then really get some more the next episode. But we know the show we're dealing with.
Where do you think they're going? I mean, we're in height of COVID, so I can't imagine it's going to be somewhere very exotic.
Right.
Ship them down to Florida again like they did last year.
Yeah, it can't be Florida. I feel like they filmed in a time where they could potentially go to Mexico, because I know they did Vegas a couple of seasons ago, then last season Florida. But I feel like they can leave the country at this point. But well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But thank you, everybody, for sticking with us all the way through this. Be sure to subscribe to our Married at First Sight feed. It's robhasawebsite.com/MAFS feed. Be sure to like our tweets on Twitter when we promote the podcast, and then just rate and review the podcast so you can continue to get great content every week from Jason and I.
We love the ratings and reviews. It really hypes us up. It gives our benefactor, our podfather, Rob, sister Nino, the knowledge to know that you guys are really liking us. Like Aja said, hit us up on Twitter. I am at JAYR1085. Aja, you are?
Aja like Asia. So AYSHA like ASIA. So definitely go give us a follow. And then we will see y'all next week. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.